Welcome to another episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. I am your host, Anna Fulmer. Thank you so much for tuning in. We would love to hear your thoughts. Tell us what you think by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Good or bad, it just needs to be honest. Your reviews help keep us on the air. Now, without further ado, on to the show. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. I am your host, Anna Fulmer. Today, we have Marcus Collius on the show. From wearing his sister's hand-me-downs to founding Magnum Pharmaceuticals, a multi-million-dollar sports nutrition company, Marcus is passionate about equipping others to fuel their body and soul to level up and play a bigger game. A lover of Jesus, quality skin moisturizers, and unprofessional bodybuilding, welcome fitness pro Marcus Collius. Marcus, welcome to the show. He was complimenting me that I looked done up, and I told him, well, actually, it's business on the top and I'm wearing yoga pants and slippers on the bottom. So I feel very confident Marcus is not wearing yoga pants and slippers. He is much more dapper than I am.
Hold on a second here.
I knew we were meant to be friends. Okay, well, listen, welcome to the podcast. God brings just the right people together. We're the slipper wearing duo here. Business on the top, slippers on the bottom. There's so much to your story that I'm excited to unpack. It was really fun. Marcus and I met at a speakers meetup. And what I love about Marcus is we align in so many areas, but what I feel so blessed to have this connection and to have you here is you're like one of those people that I'm excited to learn from, because I'm sort of sitting, I mean, I don't think we're drastically different in age, but in terms of like profession, I'm on the beginning end of my entrepreneurial journey. And you are one of those people that I look at and I think, I would love to end up having the type of impact that this person has had. What can I learn from them? So it's really exciting to have you here. And I'm just excited to hear your story more and share it with my audience and learn from you, really, because we share a lot of similar goals and heartbeats. So let's just press rewind and hear your story.
Wow, Anna. First, let me say thank you so much. That's my favorite intro to date. I mean, usually people are
praise.
I loved that, and I'm so blessed to be here. Thank you, and I hope this time with you and this audience, I hope you guys just feel so much love coming from us. This is going to be a special time. Let's make this happen.
Let's do it. Let's start with Marcus Collius' story, your social security number, where you were born. I'm just kidding.
Of course.
I'm just kidding.
Natural start.
But basically, naturally, why wouldn't we start there? Bank account number. No, but really, you have such an incredible story, and I would love for the audience to hear how you ended up where you are. It's easy to see the after photo, right? And we sort of like hone in there and we get a snapshot of the before, but like the messy in between, we just rarely get a whole lot of. So share your story.
Thank you. Well, truly the overnight success is what people see, right? The 45-year overnight success. Well, I want to start by saying this. I truly believe my story is a story of if I can do it, absolutely anybody can do it. So please, if you've already said, oh, this guy has this or this guy has had that, please get that out of your way. That is a limiting belief that is stopping you from going, all right, I'm going to listen. And if this guy can do it, I will absolutely be able to do it too. Because I love pouring that out. I love for seeing people take this stuff and run with it. Do something with it. So that was the other piece I want to say is don't just consume. We are in such a consumeristic society. We consume and we consume and then we go, I wonder why nothing's changing for me. Mm-hmm. Consume it and then put it into action today. We're going to talk about things today that you can put into action today to change the trajectory of your life. And I would
That's right.
Love-
Stop pinning and start doing. Stop yes. pinning on Pinterest and start doing it.
Yes, I love it. So my story... My first 16 years of my life were terrible. I had a really rough upbringing, come from a divorced family. When I was 7, they divorced. But the truth is, there was never love in my house. I never got to witness love. And when they broke up, my father was now out of the picture for me. And my mom had to go back to school full time and work full time. And so I essentially lost my mom and dad on that same day. It was pretty messed up. And I'll fast forward a little bit to say I'm not hurting from that anymore. Of course, it's still like there's scars, but it gave me so much independence. I'm so grateful for my backstory. But let's go back to the backstory. I grew up super skinny. I had this crazy growth spurt. It's a Lithuanian thing that we do. I was 6'4" at 120 pounds, which is really messed up. Yeah, it looked as bad as you think it looked. And shocker, the girls didn't like that. And the boys really did. And so it was just a tough, I didn't like who I was. I had no confidence. I had no self-worth. I believed everything that was said about me. But there was this defining moment in my life. My father came back into the picture when I was 15 and he said, "Hey, would you like to come on a trip with my new family?" And I was like, "Okay, sure, let's go." And on that plane ride, I actually felt God speaking to me. And he said, "Listen, Marcus, where you're going, no one knows who you are. You could be somebody different. They don't know that girls don't look, they don't know that you're bullied like crazy. So what if that's not you anymore?" And I'm going to come back to that what if in a minute. But when I stepped off that plane, I was a totally different human being. And people accepted me as that totally different human being. Everything that we have is all in here. Who we think we are, the amount of confidence we have, our characteristics, we build it in here. It's our own filter that we've put on these things. I decided to change my filter that day. And when I stepped off the plane, people accepted the new me. I hung out with the coolest dudes. I was going on dates. That's crazy. You don't understand how bad it was with girls at home, but now it was wild. And so my life changed at that moment. I knew when I came home, I would have to change a lot of the habits to become more of that person that I now was. I want to be this guy from now on. And I want to build off of that. I don't want to build off of the guy that I was getting on that plane. I want to build on the guy who I was in Maui. And that's what I did. And then I started to consume. I started to consume, but I put it into action immediately. One of the beautiful questions I always ask is, when I find a piece of wisdom that I'm like, wow, that seems wise, what if I put that into practice and really did it all the way? Did it consistently? And that's who I am. That's my life. I put things that I learn into practice and I do them consistently, day after day after day. Put in the habit. Do I fail sometimes? Of course I do. Do I miss a day? Of course I do. But the difference between me and most people, in my opinion, is when I fall, I get back up real fast. And I don't go, "Oh, just like Marcus, always screwing up." I don't believe in that self-talk. I just go, "Yeah, I screwed up. It's okay. I'm going to forgive myself and I'm going to keep moving." People don't realize when they fall down, they don't fall all the way back down to the starting line. They fall down and they can keep moving. You're well ahead on the path. But then when we fall down,
How much of that mindset do you think, this is something I was actually recently talking to somebody about, how much of that mindset do you think is sort of like God-given personality versus it's been nurtured? Or some of it's a choice, certainly, but how much of it do you think is kind of inherent to who you are versus nurtured?
Anna, I love that question for so many reasons. Because I find that that's sort of an excuse for some people is like, "Well, I wasn't programmed that way." I promise you, I was not programmed that way. Everything in my first 16 years would show you and prove to you, I was not programmed that way. Did God have a massive hand in it? Of course, we all have God in us. We are co-writers of our story. So you can create with him. He has given you so much strength and so much ability. It's just, it's up to you to tap into it. And how much do you want to tap into it? How much do you believe in that? How much do you have the faith that you can make that change? Let me tell you, my faith in you, everybody who's listening, you can change your whole life like that. Right this minute, you can make one choice to go on a different path and your path will be radically different. All you have to now do is, that was the easy part. Now you just have to recognize how many of your old habits are trying to come back and bring you back to the old path. You just have to go, no. I know what that is. That's one of my old habits. Nope. And you have to fill it with the new good habits.
Yeah, because I think it's such an interesting concept, I see it even just in my children, the inherent tendencies that seem to be prevalent even from a young age. And I've seen it in myself as well. So I think, you know, sometimes we have to really look in the mirror and acknowledge there are certain inherent inclinations in our spirit, in our personality that sort of drive us. I think some people are by nature self-sabotagers, even if they have grown up in a really healthy home environment. It's sort of like the thorn in their flesh, if you will. It's like they just have, for whatever reason, this inherent tendency to self-sabotage, you know. And then there's some of us that have almost the opposite thorn in our flesh. Like I tend to be the person that my MO, and it can be steeped in pride sometimes, is to like confidently and boldly. It's like I push back on that sense of I can't and I won't. And there's like my natural tendency is to be like, oh no, I will. Yes. I'm going to make it happen. And that can be bad too sometimes, because like sometimes you have to humbly step back and be like, no, I can't and I shouldn't. Yes. So I'm saying that for listeners, you know, sometimes it's like you hear these words and you miss that one, the behavior that is being communicated has been nurtured. And it is a choice that has been made over and over again, like Marcus is saying, and like many of my guests have said, you make the choice to get back up. And that is within your power to do. And he mentioned, you know, we're made in the image of God. We have been given access to such unbelievable power, if you're willing to accept it, especially, you know, through just the incredible worth that we have been given and defined by. So I just want to put that plug in here so you can hear, you know, Marcus's story and his testimony through that lens, is acknowledging how much of your change in your life needs to be a constant choice that you make and nurture it, and how much is worth recognizing, no, this is my nature and I will struggle with this forever, but I can make the choice to keep getting back up, like Marcus is communicating here. Sorry, I interrupted you, but that was such a great point and I wanted to settle there for a minute.
So beautifully well said. So beautifully well. And I really see that strength in you, by the way. So keep doing that. I want to add to that, especially since I know you love talking fitness. This is a muscle. It's a muscle that we have to exercise. And the other thing that I want to encourage people with as you're exercising this muscle is just to know that you are in an environment. We are in an environment, a bizarre world, where the majority of this world really doesn't want you to get ahead. There it is. Like, you look at all the advertising for fast food, for Netflix, for all these streaming services. It's like, no, it's okay. Do another 4 hours on the couch. It's okay. You have to recognize that. You have to see that we're in an environment that would prefer you to be lazy, that would prefer you to have none of that muscle. So it's that muscle you have to keep exercising. And I want to encourage you, that muscle will build. So the more you get up, the more you go, I am strong, I am capable. You go, I really am. Oh, I really believe that.
Right. I love that. So keep, I interrupted you. We had a great little moment there. But talk to me a little bit. I mean, you've overcome a lot of adversity. So you decide, you get off the plane, you're back from Maui trip with your dad and his family, and you decide, okay, I'm going to start making different choices over and over again. Talk to me a little bit about how that ultimately led to the fitness and the sports nutrition company that you built. And he recently sold, by the way. This is a really, you're getting Marcus at a really cool chapter in his life. And we'll talk more about that. But, you know, tell us how you even got into that 17-year journey.
Yeah. So I love fitness. Fitness really helped transform me and change my life. And I don't mean my body. Yeah, my body changed too. But mentally, you start working out right away. You start to go, man, I like that feeling. It feels good. And I'm in control of something. Now, I know people get really sidelined by the fact that muscle doesn't come on right away. Fat doesn't fall off right away. But if you stick to it, stay consistent, you know the right answers. You know that if you do it consistently, you're going to get there. You know which foods you should and shouldn't be eating. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But you know what is okay and what isn't. So I just want to encourage people, keep going on that path, because it can radically change your life as it did mine. So I kept working out. When I got home, by the way, this is I think is a very important part of the story. When I got home, there's everybody who remembers who I was before I left for that trip. People are more comfortable with who you were. That's what they got used to.
Yeah.
when you come home in this growth mode, like, no, guys, I'm growing, I'm becoming somebody different. It highlights in people's lives the fact that they're not growing and they don't like that. So you have to be ready for that. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Just think about the last time you started an exercise routine. How many people in your life are like, oh, come on, exercise is for sucker. Oh, don't do that. Come to McDonald's with us. This is what happens. So you have to recognize it's going to be a bit of a lonely road at times. It is. Just accept that. And you can find people who are trying to do the same thing as you. I spend so much time in those groups and I love that. You have to find a community who is going to help you on your new journey. And the more time you spend in there, if you're spending time with a bunch of people who love the gym, guess what? You end up loving the gym more. If you spend time with a bunch of people who love going to McDonald's, guess what? You're going to love McDonald's. So we just have to remember to build that community around us. So when I got home, almost right away, I started one of my first businesses. My brother and I were selling smoothies. We got a distribution contract. That was nothing special of a business. I ended up leaving there after a while. And my next business was really special. I started selling supplements out of my bedroom. And I just love supplementation. I love learning about the different ingredients that are going to change my body faster, give me an edge. And so I had shelving unit full of supplements with every dollar I had ever earned. So I had $15,000 of sports nutrition supplements on my wall. And buddies would come by and they would literally sit on my bed and say, here's
some kids have
take.
Posters. Marcus had supplements.
It's wild. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And so I was, my buddies called me a healthy drug dealer for those years. Cause I had my pager. People were coming all hours of the night. It was fun.
That's so funny.
From there, I moved into my first store. That was cool. I had three stores, but then I wanted to do something more special. I just kept questioning, like, is this it? Is this what God has for me? Is this the top? And the answer was no. And he spoke to me and he said, no, you're going to do your own brand. And so that was January 17th of 2005. I still remember that he spoke to me. He said, this is what you're doing. I incorporated the company that day and I started to build my own brand. And that was the brand that I sold earlier this year.
That's such a cool, go ahead. What's that?
It's because he told me to sell it, by the way.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. I mean, Marcus and I both share a love for, you know, Jesus in our life. And many of you have heard me talk about just the importance of understanding each step as it is ultimately led by the Lord. And even if that sometimes means significant pivots or ones that don't make any sense at the moment, ultimately trusting that he leads the way and submitting to that in our lives. And it's really scary sometimes. I want to ask on this side of things, you just gave like such a beautiful, quick overview, 17 years, an incredibly successful business. I love the concept. I think I don't know if you shared in an Instagram story or that at one point you were wearing your sister's hand-me-down clothes. And I love this concept of, I mean, this is a headline, of course, clickable headline, but the idea of, you know, from sister's hand-me-downs to, did you sell it for what was 170 million? Did you say the company?
I didn't say what I sold it for, but we did 170 million in global sales.
Yes. And that, you know, just that concept of, you know, the storyline there, what would you say as a young entrepreneur on the early end of entrepreneurship for me, what is the number one piece of advice if you could look back 17 years ago and give some business advice to yourself? Mm. What would you say?
I love this question. Two things. One, always lead with love. Find more love and more peace in your life. And honestly, as you know, this comes through our Lord. Like, mm-hmm. If you accept more of what he wants for your life, you can be just this beacon of love and light. Mm-hmm. And number two is always act in gratitude. The young entrepreneurs that I see coming up, I shouldn't say young, youthful, who have this attitude of gratitude, those are the entrepreneurs I want to do so much for. Those people are like, oh my goodness, so much for this time with you. Thank you for your wisdom. I'm like, oh my goodness, I really want to see this kid succeed. And so does everybody else. That's not just a personal thing. We all know somebody who's like really grateful and nobody is really grateful anymore. So the fact that you have this gratitude makes you stand out so much. And the truth is, I'm so grateful. You talked about me wearing my sister's hand-me-downs. That was all of my clothes growing up. Like we just didn't have money. We kept going from small place to smaller place to smaller place. Mm-hmm. I still remember, this is so messed up. I still remember hot dog day, and hot dogs were 25 cents. And I didn't ask my mom for 25 cents because I didn't think we could afford it. Now, of course, now that I'm old enough, I know she couldn't have made any kind of lunch for 25 cents. So I actually screwed her over, and I'm so sorry, Mom. But that's how poor I thought we were because
sorry, Mom.
I got no clothes, I got no nothing. So this I'm so grateful for where I am today. It's ridiculous to me God has put me here. It's ridiculous to me that God has put people in my life who want to see me succeed, who want to be around me, who want to learn from me, learn with me. And so even on this show, I'm so honored to be here with you. I love chatting with you. I think you're an amazing human being. And I know in 10 years, you have done absolutely spectacular things. And I'm so grateful that I got a ticket to the show pretty early in life.
Well, thank you. Lord willing, Lord willing. What you just said is so beautiful. The bottom line is it's really hard to appreciate abundance when you've never experienced lack. In our society, we're so full of abundance that we almost can't even be appreciative because we've not known lack. And so anyways, that's another little nugget for us all, myself included. Okay, Marcus, this or that. Two options, very low stress, whichever one comes first. Would you rather a burger or a hot dog? We're talking fitness, of course. So I'm leading with burger. And hot dog.
Burger.
Where's the best burger you have ever had? Yeah, this is a controversial question.
It's very controversial. Well, I'll tell you my go-to burger is Five Guys.
Okay.
Five Guys. Okay. They're consistently awesome. I'm so sorry. I feel like this is something I should know, but I can't think of the best burger I ever had. Wait, can you tell me, Marcus, yours?
You're never allowed back on the show because you couldn't answer this question. I'm just kidding. That's a great way to flip the question. Man, I just kind of love burgers. I'm not super picky, but there is a place locally that I really love. It's called Brickerville Family Cupboard or something like that. Brickerville House. It's local. It's local. And it's like a mom and pop owned shop, but they have one that's really delicious. It has blueberry jam on it, like a bourbon jam. Yeah, it's really good. It's like a surprise in your mouth a little bit. You bite it and you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. So that's mine. Would you rather a private jet or a personal yacht?
Yeah. I love to travel. I'm not much of a boat guy.
Yeah. Where are you guys located? I don't even know.
Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yes. So also a little cold, probably, to get out on water up there.
We don't go in the water that much here.
Oh, no, I can understand that. Where's the first place that you are taking your family? Where are you flying to?
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we would do the Maldives. It's next on our list for where we haven't been, which we really need to be. And it has to have one of those slides from the second story into the water.
That's amazing. So there you go. Private jet to the Maldives with the slide. Would you rather a dog or a cat?
Dog. I love cats too, but then I swear I might have been a dog before. When I see dogs, I'm like, oh, hi, buddy. Yeah.
Do you guys have dogs?
Nope.
he's not a dog guy.
We have budgies. My girls love birds.
You know, this is so funny. This is also a controversial subject, but I am similar in that I can appreciate like a really cute dog. Like, I'll snuggle with a dog, but I don't want one. Like, I have children. I don't need a dog. Keeping so my kids true. Alive is hard enough. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird. Oh, if it was up to me, I'd be up at like 4 a.m. I'd go to bed at 9 p.m. I love that lifestyle. You get so much done. The rest of the world is awake. That's, I love
it. Yeah. What was your typical in like the heart of your most stressful entrepreneur years? As we all know, like when you're wearing 5 million hats and not really sure if ends will meet, what was your typical wake time?
You know, I always thought about joining the 5 a.m. club, but I never did. Yeah. I was a 6:30 a.m. guy, got my workout in the morning. I've had my same morning routine for, I think, 20 years. It just
What's your morning routine? Run it by us. We all know how much we love morning routines here.
Sure. I get up, I get on the cardio, I get on my treadmill within 6 minutes of waking up. I have all my clothes already laid out. I pop my pills, fill up my bottles, boom, I'm doing my cardio. I'm in gratitude. I'm in prayer. Sets me up perfectly for the day. So I'm in this great space. No phone anywhere near me for the first hour.
And then say that one more time. Say that one more time for the people in the back.
No phone anywhere near me for the first hour. So important.
Listen, we wear slippers to interviews. Like, take us seriously, okay? No.
I love it.
Read our lips. No phones. First thing in the morning. Sorry. Continue.
That's all good. That's all good. And then I get my breakfast in. I spend some time journaling. I spend a little bit of time with my family. I get my workout in. I get my cold tub in. And then I'm ready for work by 9:30 a.m.
Yeah, I love that. The journaling piece, this is a random side note. I saw this on your Instagram account, and I thought this was really, really fascinating. A tip that I think you said 5 billionaires that you talked to, did you say they all did this? This is just a fascinating principle, life principle.
So I had this unique experience with Tony Robbins to hear these. I actually heard 16 billionaires over the course of that week. But the first five all had this one thing in common. They were like, if you're not journaling, you're a fool. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
But I thought that was so wise. And I mean, success leaves clues. And if you're wanting to be successful, there's no need to fight the people who have done it ahead of you. If these billionaires, journaling is critical, I'm going, give me my pen.
Yeah. And I think if I'm remembering right, it was specifically they journaled the decisions that they made.
Yes.
Is that right? They journaled for their business. Was that what they were talking about?
Not just business.
Interesting.
You journal that stuff. I think this is actually one of the biggest misconceptions, including for myself, why I didn't start journaling earlier. I don't have any plans of reading back. That's not what it's about.
Interesting.
Heard that. Mm-hmm. It's really important. What happens when we put it down on paper? You release it from here onto here, and it changes how we absorb it, how we will keep it. And it puts it into our subconscious where you actually get to learn that lesson. So that stuff is so critical. Yeah, they wrote down their decisions and then they look at it. They stare at that decision and go, what can I learn from that? How would I do it differently next time? And boom, it really does solidify it. So my journaling ever since, it's been really good. And there's also one other key thing I got from those journaling tips is this. If you should write down certain things like, how do you feel each day? Because if you notice over 5 days, 7 days, you're like, didn't sleep well. Hey, that's a clue. That's a problem. Fix that. Not feeling that good today. I'm feeling a 7 out of 10 today. 7 out of 10. My energy's not good today. These are problems. Now you stare at them and you go, oh man, I got to fix that. You can fix those things. There's no reason for people not to live 10 out of 10 lives. I truly believe that. I know that can be hard for a lot of people to accept. But, and it's not going to happen tomorrow, but you can start putting in habits today. You can make choices today that will have you live in a 10 out of 10 life soon.
Yeah. Well, and it's a really interesting correlation because in my early morning habit program coming out in July, you guys, one of the things that we do in the program is we start our day being, not doing. And what, you know, we're teaching the community to do is to implement emotionally intelligent gratitude practice through God's word and prayer. But for myself, I have been prayer journaling since I was about 8 years old. So I have this entire plastic bin in my basement right now, full of prayer journals from when I was 8 years old. And part of that is including journaling how I'm feeling, like the emotions that are going through me with this thing. And obviously it changes pretty drastically. Like my little 10-year-old self was feeling very different things than my 20 or 30-year-old self. But it's interesting that that same concept, though, the physiology and the science behind it is fascinating to me, that even at a like success level, if you measure that by wealth and you've got these billionaires, or success when it comes to our holistic health and our emotional health, our mental health, our spiritual health, this concept of journaling is clearly highly underrated. So anyway, I'll throw that out there. Consider more of this concept of journaling and how you could implement it in your life. Let's talk, I mean, we'll segue here, not super smoothly, but let's talk fitness. Yes. On that note, one thing that I think is, go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to pause for just 1 second.
No, anybody please.
Heard about this morning routine course that Anna's got coming up? Sign up for it. I don't need to know the curriculum to know that this will impact your life so big. If you don't have a great morning routine, forget about that. If you think you can have a morning routine that will serve you better, sign up for this, because that is such a difference maker. It helps not only with your morning routine, but it sets your brain on a course for the whole day. It's something that you're in control of right from the start. I can't more highly recommend you sign up for that.
Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate that. Fitness. Something, what's that?
You wanted to talk about fitness or business.
Fitness. Here we go. Fitness and business. Something that I think is really crucial to highlight in the fitness industry, and I'm curious to hear your take on this, is it's so easy to, we just talked about the after photo, right? When it comes to like just general success in life, and fitness is another one of those areas where it is all too easy to see the magazine cover end result, of which you have experienced many times. I mean, you guys just need to like Google Marcus Collius, and he's all over a gazillion fitness magazines. And, you know, you see that image and it's like, one, people experience different things. One, they feel overwhelmed, like, I'll never be able to do that. Or two, they're inspired, like, I want to do that. Or three, it's a sense of, well, it's just easy for him to do because he's got that body, right? Like, everyone has these different excuses or thoughts that come about when they, you know, see sort of that, and whether it's a woman or a man or whomever, it's sort of that after photo. And I like to also pull it down and sort of break it down into real world practice. So one question that I have to help highlight this is, tell me the difference between your baseline workout regimen, like your day-to-day, I want to stay healthy and fit workout regimen, compared to I am going to cut like crazy for a magazine photo shoot. Maybe you do live magazine photo shoot cut all your life, but most people don't, because it is like a full-time job. And it's really difficult to sustain, and people don't appreciate just how much work it takes to cut like that. So I'm just curious, is there a difference? And if there is, what is the baseline versus magazine shoot?
I think my answer will be very different from the average person. So I absolutely love the lifestyle. I've learned to implement so many of these habits into my daily. So my food, I really see food as fuel. Don't get me wrong. Once in a while, I go for dinner with friends, but even when I'm doing that, I don't love like, oh yeah, I'll have all these things. I have my scheduled treats. So it's like, yeah, I'm going out with those guys and we're going to have nachos and we're going to have this, but I also don't lose my mind and like, ah! And by the way, I did that for many years. So I'm not blasting anybody for doing it that way. My routine is very clean. I work out the way I work out for healthy living, for a physique that I like how it looks in clothes. I like to be able to look in the mirror and go, I like this guy's physique. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, though, I tried so many of these terrible up and down diets. Like, okay, way more carb, way less calories. Allow me to skip you ahead many years from all the mistakes I made. Do things in moderation and just get those daily habits in. If you think consistency over time, your physique will be exactly what you want it to be. This whole idea of like, okay, well, now I'm doing none of this stuff and I'm doing way more cardio. It's not sustainable. I can't tell you how many people in my 25 years in the fitness industry, people are like, oh yeah, I'm eating boiled chicken. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I hate it. And it's like, oh, I feel so bad for you. And, yeah. And oh, my family doesn't support me. I wouldn't support you either. Because what you're doing is bad.
And not sustainable. Yes.
Right? And yeah, these guys get thinner and thinner and they feel bad about themselves. And then their testosterone gets screwed up. So they start taking testosterone. Like, it can lead to so many crazy things. And for what? There's the big question. For what? What are you doing this for? You want a little trophy? I'll buy you a trophy. Just stay off the stage. How does that sound?
It's
just living a healthy life, showing your children, showing the community what it looks like to have a healthy lifestyle. Man, I respect and I support people who do that.
How would you encourage somebody to take that step? This is an ongoing conversation that I often have with fitness and nutrition experts. But in your experience or clients or community members that you've worked with, what has been a couple successful practical strategies to improve consistent exercise? I will start with one. This is from my husband, actually, football player in college, like was no stranger to exercise. But then we got married. It was suddenly like, and this is true for so many men, he no longer had sports to keep him in shape. And he's also a high achiever. He's got two masters. You know, he's a busy guy. And so it was sort of this mindset shift like, oh, now I have to just work out. I can't just play sports and train for something. And so he had to implement changes in his own life. For him, he says one of the most practical habits was instead of paying for a gym membership, he invested in equipment that we kept at home and created his own home gym. It sounds really like, really, that's your big, but it made such a difference for him because now it was accessible. And when he needed to come home, because we've got three kids and life is crazy, like he could get his workout in even with, you know, 6-year-olds hanging on the bars, you know, he's still getting it in. So I'll start out with that tip. What would you say in your experience?
Really like what your husband did. That's really wise. And people double check, like, is it really impossible to do exactly that? Maybe you start off with just a few pieces. That's okay. Yeah. As long as you're getting your workouts in. So there's two pieces of advice I'd give. One is habit stacking. It's tough to get things into your routine properly. Habit stacking makes a huge difference. You stack it on another habit. So if I know I go to Starbucks every single day, okay, and what time do you go? I'm there at 8 a.m. Okay. From now on at 7 a.m., I'm at the gym because I have to earn my Starbucks at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you this stack, and then that's a non-negotiable. So there's the next piece. It's create non-negotiables. This is what I'm doing at this time. And if you write out that game plan, there's some incredible studies showing people who have an actual game plan make worlds of difference of change compared to people who don't have a game plan. So it's from 7 till 7:45 a.m., I'm going to this gym. I will leave at this time, and then I'm going to Starbucks, whatever it might be. Now you've got a non-negotiable that I don't mess with that. Someone says to me, hey, can we have that meeting at 7:30? I go, I'm really sorry. I'm not available. How about 8:30? And I think too many people are afraid of that. And myself included, I'll be honest. I think it's only been about 3 years now where I was like, no, this is a hard pass. And we're so scared of like, oh, but what if they don't offer another meeting time? It's like, how often is that the case? How often is it that someone so big and so important is like, I'll meet you at 7:30 a.m. or I'm not meeting you.
Not
but
at all.
For something that goes on in our head, right? I go, actually, 7:30 is not available. How about 8:30? How about 9:30? How about, oh yeah, no problem at all. Oh, wow. I just protected my non-negotiable. And the more you do it, the more strength you have to be like, yeah, I can always protect it. And then let's add some more non-negotiables in my life and I'll protect those too.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you said there, because the habit stacking concept, this is why I'm such a proponent of getting the workout done first thing in the morning, because if you can set it up correctly, it is when, typically speaking, no one else needs you, especially if you do it early enough. This is the time where practically kids are sleeping. And you know, you don't have to go to work yet. Like, you keep the phone off, you have this isolated space where it's quiet and the rest of the world is at rest. And, you know, that doesn't mean you're sacrificing rest. I'm not a proponent of that. You have to rehab your sleep, and there's all kinds of strategies to do that. But the advantage of the morning is you are protecting a space that is otherwise just going to be taken up by sleep. And if you rehab it on the front end, right, like your morning routine actually starts the night before, you're not missing that rest because now you're getting quality sleep over quantity sleep. So I love the idea of habit stacking. You have to get up in the morning. Why not get up and work out?
Love it. Anna, I totally agree with you, by the way. I'm such a proponent of morning workouts. The key reason that I always talk about is how many things pop up in the day that will take you away from the day. It happens every single day. Every single day, emails come in. Some sort of fire starts and you're like, oh, okay, what am I going to lose? It's the gym. It's the workout. And then now you've developed a habit that way. The gym always will get sacrificed. It's not a big deal until it's a big deal.
Right. That's exactly right. Or the kids are like tugging on your heartstrings. Mommy, I want to play a game with you. And you're like, I got to go work out. And you're like, oh no, okay, I'll play a game. Right. I mean, there's always something, whether you're mom, dad, stay at home mom, a CEO, it doesn't matter. Life happens. So getting it done first thing. I love that. This is also going to be a really difficult question. You might have to pray about it for a second. The world shuts down and your supplement company that you spent 17 years building up, and I'm assuming still take the supplements that you created, you can only take one of your supplements. One. And you specifically want to be able to take one that is really effective at maintaining and building muscle mass because you're fueling your body really well with whole food nutrition, but you want that one supplement to be able to maintain your fitness, and you can only pick one. Which Magnum supplement are you taking all day, every day?
It's primer.
Tell me about primer.
Multivitamin, multi-mineral, antioxidant, brain support, digestive support. It's everything we need in one packet. It's many pills. It's so many vitamins, so many minerals. For me, it's all about health. And if your health falls apart, you know what? There's the most beautiful quote that Tony Robbins says, a healthy person has a million dreams. An unhealthy person only has one. So I'm such a proponent of, let's make sure our health is right. So if you don't have the right vitamins, the right minerals, the right essential fats, the right aminos, everything that your body needs to start, well, then you can't burn as much fat. You can't build as much muscle, and you're spinning your wheels a little bit. So it's really important to get the good vitamins, good minerals, all of the essentials.
So that primer has a bunch of amino acids. So it's not specifically like a protein powder. We're not looking at whey, but it has amino acids, like the essential
It has a small amount. It's not an amino acid supplement per se.
Yeah.
I'm just clarifying that
for people listening. So the primer. Now, what about your, protein supplementation is always one of those things that I get asked about a lot. I did a 3-part series on protein on the podcast. It was very popular, but I like to ask people, if you could pick just one protein supplement from your line, which would it be?
So it's called Quattro, and it's fantastic. Okay. You know, but I'm going to speak a little bit general right now in saying, if you are trying out protein powders, I highly recommend going to a store that offers samples, because not everybody is going to like the same protein. So not only do you need to like it, and I mean really enjoy it, not like, I guess I can get this down. Nope, stop there. You won't do it consistently.
Number two,
people go, oh, all proteins give me gas. That's not true. The proteins you've tried have given you gas. And I'll tell you, I tried hundreds of terrible proteins that all destroyed my stomach. Why? Because most of them are made without integrity. Most of them are just made, let's make it cheaper, let's cut it with this, let's have this. Quattro, we guaranteed no gas, no bloating. It's lactose free. It was so easy on the gut. And that's what had people going, oh my goodness, I absolutely love it. It's so easy. And especially women loved it because their husbands mm-hmm. weren't farting in bed. So that's a big deal. But yeah, it's a
that
really
should be thing. On the marketing, literally on the package. Your sales will go through the roof. So it's Quattro. What flavors do you offer? And you guys, we'll have the link at the bottom, Magnum Supplements, right.com. Magnum Supplements. Is that right?
Magnum Supps. Yeah.
Supps. Okay.
We had chocolate love, vanilla ice cream, caramel macchiato.
Caramel macchiato. Mm.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Toasted cinnamon roll. I can't. It's cinnamon toast.
Wow.
It tastes like cereal. It
sounds
really
delicious.
Yeah. There's some.
Which is your favorite? Favorite flavor?
I'm a chocolate love kind of guy. You can do so much with chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's also a really great point. When you're picking your protein supplement, you are going to get sick of doing the same thing every day. So find a flavor that you can also incorporate different. You could put strawberries in it. You could add bananas in it. You could put peanut butter in it. So chocolate, vanilla is typically why I recommend those ones, like Marcus just said.
Anna, that is such a good point. And I hope everybody heard that. So I'm going to rehash it right now. Choose a flavor that you can do stuff with. I'll never forget the very first time I tried a pina colada. I tried it. I'm like, oh, wow, that's really good. I tried it the next day and I'm like, I'm never going to drink that again. That is just so gross. So you have to choose a flavor you can do consistently.
Yes. So important. Also, I'm really curious, which are there general companies or stores that offer samples? Like, can you think of like, I can't think of any. Like who?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my recommendation is call ahead. Call ahead to the store and just say, hey, do you have samples? So in Canada, I mean, there's an incredible chain right across the country called Popeyes. Popeyes all have supplement stations. So they do demo stations. Huh. They help you the samples. I know there's lots in the U.S. as well.
Interesting. Well, just I've never Googled that. So that's, I mean, Google's probably a great place to start there. And take those samples. I was recently interviewed on a podcast and she asked me a question. I can't even take the credit for this. Mom Guilt podcast. Vanna's the host. She was excellent. So I have to give her credit for this question, but I'm going to flip it and ask you. So the question that she asked me as a fitness influencer and expert, she said, what is one disparity or misunderstanding about fitness or the fitness industry that you would want to dispel that the average consumer might not understand? Let me tell you my answer, because I'm actually curious if this is applicable to men as well or just women. And then I want to ask you the same question. So for me, the answer that I gave was one of my big concerns now with the fitness industry is because of social media, fitness has been made to look pretty, as has most things for women. Marketing to women is typically about the superficial aesthetic, the outward appearance, whether it be in our homes, our families, our bodies, it is very targeted to this appearance of beauty. So not only are we exhausted by hustle culture, but we are basically being told do it all and do it all looking fantastic, whether it is sustainable or natural or not, doesn't matter. Just do whatever you need to do to look good doing it. And I think the fitness industry has fallen into this as well. And so one of my big things is exercise doesn't need to look pretty. It needs to get done, which is why I hyperlap some of my early morning workouts with like no makeup and my mismatching Amazon clothes. And, you know, it's like, get it done. Get it done. Doesn't need to look like a Victoria's Secret model with perfectly matching clothes. It just needs to get done. So my question for you is, number one, do you feel like this is true? Do you feel this pressure at all as a male in the industry, or is this more geared toward women? Do you struggle, or have you ever struggled with feeling like you need to maintain this aesthetic in order to feel as valuable and worthy as you are in the industry or relevant? And then two, how would you answer the question, what is a disparity that you would want to dispel about the fitness industry?
Wow, great questions. Well, it takes me about an hour to do my makeup in the morning before I go to the gym.
That's right.
I really sympathize because I completely agree with you. That is what the world is saying. Like, you better show up pretty. That stuff is such crap. So I so encourage people, just get it done. The gym is not the place to be looking pretty. you go to the gym so that you can feel pretty in your own skin outside of the gym. So I don't care how people look at me in the gym. Do I ever feel it? Yeah, I feel it, especially because people see me on all these covers of magazines and they're
That's right.
Oh, you don't really look like that guy right now. I'm like, I don't have to look at that, look like that year round. And thanks for judging me. I think this all goes into my number one thing that I'd like to encourage and to dispel this idea of having to overdo it. The excessive stuff is so unhealthy. And that's the one thing I really have always disliked about the fitness industry. The truth is, most of the fitness models you see, both male and female, are super unhealthy. Yeah, their muscles look unreal. They look phenomenal in photos.
Yeah.
They're the unhealthiest people I knew. Isn't that messed up? These are supposed to be the pinnacle. Now, I'm not saying that to everybody. I want to make sure people aren't hearing a broad statement. I know there's a lot of fitness people listening going, oh, go screw yourself, Margaret. No. There are some people doing it right. In fact, when I was bringing people onto Team Magnum, that was the number one thing I looked for is it a lifestyle? So not, oh yeah, you know, I'll lose 30 pounds to shred up and look good for a photo shoot. It's like, oh no, sorry. That's the exact opposite of what I'm looking for. I want to hear that you only have to lose 3 pounds or 4 pounds to be in a photo shoot, if any, because that means you're not going to be 2 hours on cardio each day, cutting your calories to 800. Like that stuff is nuts and has such unbelievable long-term negative side effects. So let me share with you, I'm going to pull back the curtain and tell you, I can't tell you how many fitness models, female, screw up their hormones so bad because of the heavy diet and the heavy cardio that they lose their periods. They screw up their hormones for the next 6 to 12 months. You watch how many of them disappear from social media. And they keep posting the old photos. Why? Because they're this unbelievable weight gain that they can't deal with because they've screwed things up. And I have so much mercy for them. Please don't hear this as condemning people.
Yes, right.
Or just showing you guys, don't do what they're saying to do. When they're saying, an hour and a half of cardio, that's bull crap. 30 minutes a day consistently, you're going to do so great. Doing 30 to 45 minutes of weights per 5 days a week, you're going to have a phenomenal physique over time. Will you have it in 2 months? No. I'm sorry for whoever sold you that bag of goods. That is not true. But you will start seeing a difference in 2 months. And in 4 months, you'll see an even more impressive difference. And sometimes you'll have to tweak your diet even more. And that's, I think, the key thing. People don't hear this enough. How your body looks is like 95% diet. 95. Yes. So you can train till the cows come home. If you don't have your diet right, you're not changing the way you want to change. So just look into your foods more. And the last thing I want to say about that, I'm sorry I've gone off on such a tangent.
No, it's great. It's great.
You know more than you realize. Trust your gut. It's really actually quite easy. Oh, there's so much information. I know there's so much information. But do you think you should be having fast food every day? Obviously not. Right. Should you be having fast food twice a week? No. Like these are the things. They're so obvious. But we almost want to blanket our eyes like, well, I've heard other things, so I'll just eat fast food anyway. It's obvious. Should you be eating more vegetables? Of course. Should you be eating clean carbs, clean fats, clean proteins? The stuff, it's instinctual and you know what you should be doing. Just follow your instincts more.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. And that is, you know, right on with anyone that has hung out for any period of time here with me on the podcast. And it's just a constant reminder too, to make sure you're looking at data as opposed to social influence. Make sure you're looking at the right sources of information. And, you know, like you mentioned the women, female fitness models, so much compassion. And you know what? Those women feel so much pressure. They feel so much pressure to do the things because they need to look the way that all social influence is telling us we need to look in order to maintain this forward-facing image. And so, we're trying to help dismantle that and pursue healthy living, not the extremes that are not sustainable and just simply are going to yield burnout and that negative feedback cycle. So I love that. I love that. Not all or nothing. That is his takeaway for our fitness industry. Yeah, please.
This is about how to choose the right man. Choose a man who how you look always. So when my wife doesn't wear makeup, that's the time when I compliment her most. I literally think she's most beautiful without the makeup. And I pour that on. And I love that my kids are in the room sometimes when that happens. And they hear the sincerity in my voice going, this is when you're most beautiful. And I'm not condemning makeup. I get it. I get that, well, sometimes I want to put some on to feel, okay, that's fine. But just so you know how I feel, I think you look best without it. And I want my kids to see that and hear that. So it's not like, I'd love you more if you were to lose 5 pounds. Forget that. I love every pound on her body.
Yeah. Well, and this also speaks to, you know, when we talk about fueling body and soul, right? This concept of holistic wellness, that through line that we started the interview with, this concept that, you know, if we believe that we have been defined with value because we've been created in the image of God, then the reality is our value, our worth does not come from what we say or do. It comes from the God that created you. Quite literally, therein lies our value. And that is why we are enough, simply because we have been made in his image to reflect his glory. So like when Marcus said that you have that inside of you, you have literally been made in that image. Your choice is whether or not to live out of that, to submit to that power in your life, to that God, to ask the question, who is that God? And how do I get to know him? Because we've been made to be in relationship with him. And then you have to make the choice. Do you submit to him in your life and his will for you? Which is hard, takes a lot of humility and a lot of brokenness, speaking from experience. But then when you submit to that, then it's really like this sense of you are able to look at people around you and see how he sees them, which is the soul, which is the in, you know, you always hear it's who you are on the inside. Well, really what we're saying is it's your soul that lives forever and that is ultimately valuable, whether you are fit or not. We want to help you live with more freedom, energy, and joy, help you get fit, prevent disease, so you can fulfill that God-given purpose with more freedom and energy. But that's not ultimately where your value is. And it's why, you know, Marcus and I really connect. We're unapologetic lovers of Jesus and prayer in business and in life, especially in the business of health and fitness. But I wanted to end with the question for you, you know, how does your faith impact your game? You know, as you're moving into this next chapter of your life called Play a Bigger Game is the program and book coming out for Marcus down the road. We're going to have him back on. Don't worry. More to come on that. But, you know, talk to me a little bit about how your faith is ultimately leading you to this sense of playing a bigger game.
Thank you.
Because you've experienced it all, right? You have the worldly measures of success, and that's worth highlighting. You know, you have the looks, you have the family, you have the money, you have the fame. And a lot of people measure success on those marks. And so, you know, speak to us about what kind of satisfaction does that provide? And then where does faith come into it all? Where does a love for Jesus impact that ultimate game?
I love your faith. It's really beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
When I was early 20s, I was about 22 or 23. There was this pivotal moment in my life where, you know, I had God in my life, but I'll call myself a Sunday Christian at that point. And I felt him calling. I felt him calling. And I really believe people listening right now are going, I think he's talking about how I'm feeling right now. I feel God might be calling. He is. I promise you, he is. And I remember this moment where I said, you know what, God, I've got nothing to show for my first 20 some odd years. I'm sorry that I've defied you. I'm sorry that I've been led astray. But I promise you right now, I give you my whole life. Everything. Every decision will come from you, with you, through you. I'm going to lead the life you want me to live from this moment on. And that was the turning point of my life, of course, because he loves us so much and he is the most generous God. He wants to see you happy. He gives you so much peace and love. Does it mean you're going to be financially successful? Of course not. Of course not. This is not a God vending machine. I put in the prayers, I get the success. Furthest thing from it. This was my path. But I'll tell you, my real fulfillment, my satisfaction in life comes from being aligned with exactly the person God has chosen me to be. So I give it to him every decision. I give him, I held up my hands, and I love this posture. It's not even like this where I might be holding things just a little bit. It's anything that he's put in my hands is for him. He can take it back at any time. And there's been many times where I go, man, you might be taking the business back right now. You might be taking it all. And I had peace in that. I had peace. I've had so many ups and downs in the last 20 years. It did not mean that it was going to be perfect, furthest thing from it, but he gave me the strength and the peace to persevere and to just continue to trust him. And he gave me so many opportunities to give him more of me, to give more of my faith, and just to say, God, it's your life anyway. So whatever it is, I'm in and I love it. And so there's who I am today. And what I've been led to, I've never been more excited in my whole life. This is what I've been designed for my whole life, is to bring to the world playabiggergame.com. That's a bit of a pitch, I know.
Perfect segue. Yes, go for it.
Play Bigger Game is a community for people who feel, who know, who should be, who could be playing a bigger game in life, who just know this is not it for me. I should be doing more. I should be playing that bigger game. I've been destined for more. I know you have been. I don't need to know you personally to know that you should be playing a game, a bigger game. Do you know why? Because nobody on this planet is playing a big enough game. Even the greatest minds on the planet. I'm sure if you talk to Elon Musk, he's going, I'm playing a small game right now. I know he does. I know that's how he feels. Every genius I've met has said, I'm just getting started. So Play Bigger Game is this beautiful community that's led by love, that's about support, that's about lifting each other up, keeping each other accountable. There's courses to help us learn from each other. There's community calls, which excite me so much. There's coaching, there's mentoring, there's retreats. If you're hearing this, if you've seen me here today and you're like, there's something about this guy, I want to spend time with him, there's something about his energy, you are being called. Come play a bigger game with us. Let me introduce you to people who will help you think bigger and lift you up. And it is so loving. It is such an amazing community of people who just want the best for each other, who've come to a place where I'm supposed to be serving. I need to give back. That's what I'm doing today.
And you guys, you can even show up wearing slippers.
Yes, we'd prefer it that way.
Slippers encouraged. Marcus, people can find you at playerbiggergame.com. He has a book coming out. When does your book come out? We're of course going to have him back on so we can display his amazing book here and I can read it first. When does that come out?
Spring. So I think it's going to be early April of 2024. And I'm so excited to share that book. God told me to write the book. He wrote the book through me. There are so many wonderful, stories and challenges and tools. All the mindset tools that I've collected over the years and I've poured it out into these pages. And then I have these challenges. Again, going back to what we talked about first, it's not just about the consumption. It's about putting this stuff to use, putting it into practice immediately, creating habits. This book will change your life if you allow it to. If you do the work, you will change your life.
Love it. We're going to have him back to share more about that book. And then people can find you at your name, right? Marcus Collius is your social media.
Right across the board. Come see me. Instagram is where I spend a lot of my time. And by the way, if you heard from me on this episode and you want to reach out, please reach out to me on Instagram. Let me know that you heard this episode and if something changed for you. If you made a choice today to do something different with your life, to play a bigger game, love to hear that. I would love to be your cheerleader. I would love to be that guy in your corner, cheering you on, lifting you up. I know you have greatness in you, and I just want to see more of it shared with this world.
Reach out to Marcus. As you can tell, he's an excellent, excellent cheerleader. Maybe that was your other calling that you missed. Marcus, it's such an honor. Such an honor to have you here. I'm so grateful for you. I'm grateful for your support, for this connection that the Lord has brought together. And I just pray his blessing over your endeavors and all the things that are seen, all the things unseen. Pray the Lord continues to glorify himself in what he's doing in your life.
Anna, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you. You're doing an amazing job. You're an amazing host. And everybody who's listening, if you haven't gone and reviewed this podcast, not this episode, but this podcast, can you please go do that right now? Leave a comment, leave a review. It makes a big difference. Anna does so much for us. She's putting in so much time. This takes a lot of work. That review is your way of saying thank you, Anna. And by the way, if anybody wants to come join me at playbiggergame.com, I'm going to do an empowered free month. Let's say that's the coupon code, empowered free month. And you know what? It'll end up being 2 free months. You buy a month and I'll give you 2 extra free months. I just know if you spend time with me, it will make an impact. It will change your life. I just want there to be no reason for you not to come hang out with me.
Love it. And what was that code again? So my editor can drop it in the notes.
Empowered free month. And it opens up January 1st is still the date we're shooting for. And if we're not open yet, just hold on to that code. I promise it'll work in January. And I can't wait to see you guys in there.
Awesome. Empowered free month. We'll make sure that's in the show notes. playabiggergame.com. And Marcus, we will see you soon.
God bless you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Imperfectly Empowered podcast. I would love to hear your thoughts from today. Leave an honest review of the show on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think. Remember, your story matters and you are loved.